And here we are. It all comes down to this. Tied ball game, no time left on the clock. With one more point, they'll pull out the win. Here's the snap. Holder puts it down. The kick is up. And the extra point is good. The NFL exporter has done it again.
There, all my NFL and fantasy football fans, my fantasy football owners, it is the NFL Exporter. You are listening to the Extra Point. I'd like to thank everybody for welcoming me. Apologize for being a few minutes behind schedule. You know how great technology is, but when she does not want to cooperate with you, certainly can be a pain in the you know what. Nonetheless, we've made all the necessary adjustments. I am here, so let's go ahead and hop right into our show today. The call-in number for the show is 347-637-3220. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, at NFL Exporter. Also, if you're a fantasy football owner, I know it's just a couple weeks left in the season, but make sure you send a friend request to me over on Facebook.com/NFL Exporter. For both of those, the spelling is NFLEXPORTER. All right. For on Twitter, that's the easiest way to keep up with the latest news and updates. On Facebook, very interactive. I've got tons of fantasy football owners over there who post to that page daily. I leave a ton of great information up over there. So if you're an owner, you will certainly love that. Also, make sure you subscribe to my channel over on YouTube.com. Click on channels. In the search engine, put NFL Exporter. Again, the spelling for that is NFLEXPORTER. On that YouTube channel there, you'll find a lot of exclusive interviews and behind-the-scenes footage that you don't get wind of on Twitter or Facebook or even one of my daily shows. Again, the call-in number is 347-637-3220. It's the NFL Exporter. I'd like to thank everybody for joining me live. If you are catching the rebroadcast, I certainly appreciate the support without question. This is one of the top fantasy football shows that you are going to find anywhere in the NFL Exporter. Without question, it's the best NFL and fantasy football analyst that you are going to find anywhere. If you don't believe me, go and get whoever you want from CBS, ESPN, NBC, NFL Network. I don't care who it is. Bring them to me. I'll eat them alive, all right? So that's what it is. Let's go ahead and get the show started today. And by the way, I've got a fantastic show for you. We are going to breeze through our week 14 games, and then get to the meat and potatoes of today's show. You know, right now, we've only got 3 weeks left in the NFL season after this week, week 15, 16, and 17. For most of you who were in the who were fortunate enough to make the fantasy football playoffs in your league, unless you're in a Yahoo league, which we go 14 weeks, your playoffs officially started this week. And I like to say congratulations to all the owners out there who were fortunate enough to make the playoffs. I know we have one big Monday night football game left, certainly some big names in that one: Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Eddie Lacy, the Green Bay Packers defense, special teams, kicker Mason Crosby, perhaps, obviously Julio Jones. Some may have Matt Ryan. Roddy White, I know he's another guy who is expected to play tonight. We don't quite have the status on him yet. Steven Jackson as well, and even kicker Matt Bryant. And so without question, this is a huge game tonight. Hopefully your team won or you're in position to win. And so this is going to be a big Monday night football game. But as I was saying, when we get through our week 14 games, we're going to run through. We're going to do this in three pieces. So it's going to be this week, next week, the week after. We're going to look at break down fantasy football from every single angle and perspective that you could possibly imagine. Today, we're going to cover our studs. We're going to cover our busts. We're going to cover our disappointments and cover our sleepers. In the upcoming weeks, we'll be doing things like looking at the top late round picks, the top waiver wire pickups, on down the line. So I know you're really going to enjoy that. And so you certainly want to make sure that you check this show out through its duration. Without further ado, let's go ahead and get the extra point started. And
as always, shout out
my man Jerry Taylor, Mr. ATM, Mr. Cash Out, handled his business yesterday on the on the master plan. You definitely want to make sure you check that out each and every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Jerry Taylor is the host. I am his sidekick and co-host there. For all of your football action every Sunday. And then we come right back this week on the Extra Point and recap all of our action. I also have with me on the line, I'm bringing in Mr. FSP himself, that being Victor Gardner. He's going to chime in so you have two perspectives on everything that goes down today. And I know you will definitely enjoy the show. Victor, what's going on? How's it going today?
Hey, it's going, brother, man. We got 90 minutes of live and then living color information to feed to everybody. We're a little bit behind the eight ball, but we're getting things done. So I actually had to work this weekend, so I didn't get to see a lot of football. But I heard about a lot of football. And I can't wait to talk about my boy RG3 and the Redskins. So I'm going to let you do your thing, brother, man.
All right, well, this is how we're going to handle this, Victor. Since you did not have an opportunity to check out the games yesterday, I'm going to take the next 20 minutes to run through week 14, and then you're going to join me for the last hour. We are going to cover our fantasy football studs, our top 10 players at each position. We're going to cover our top 10 disappointments, some guys like Calvin Johnson, who obviously we couldn't consider a bust because he wasn't on the field, but definitely a disappointment, nonetheless, with the injury. We are going to cover those busts, those players like Colin Kaepernick, who are a complete waste this year. And then we're going to cover our sleepers, picks in the later rounds that certainly came out and showed improvement. And so let's go ahead and blitz them like the Rams defense is doing everybody right now. And, again, we'll take a quick commercial break, come back, and get into what everybody really want to hear about. Things got started 1 o'clock yesterday. It was Pittsburgh beating Cincinnati 42-21. In that game, you had Big Ben Roethlisberger doing his thing yet again, 350 passing yards, three TDs. Antonio Brown continues to work it. 9 catches, 117 yards. Martavius Bryant had been off the map a couple weeks, but a 94-yard touchdown will certainly bring you back relevant. I know there was a guy playing in the playoffs in my league who had him, and those 22 points were tremendous. But you know this is all about Mr. Le'Veon Bell. I may have my stat wrong, so I don't want to be quoted. I will definitely make sure by the time the show is over or Sunday I have that, but I believe he is the first player in NFL history to have over 200 all-purpose yards in three straight games. The man is an absolute animal, definitely a championship-caliber fantasy football running back. Just killed Cincinnati. Had no answers for him yesterday as they continuously ran that counter trey play. 185 yards, two TDs on the ground. The thing that I think really shocked me, I don't know anybody else about Le'Veon Bell, but this guy really turned into a complete back coming out of Michigan State. He was a guy who was really a power runner, but you can see that weight that he lost in the offseason really helped him out. So he can hurt you in the air receiving as well. Had a receiving touchdown to give you three on the day. The last three games that he has played in, he has just been an absolute monster. For the Cincinnati Bengals, Andy Dalton gave you a fantasy football worthy day, 300 rushing yards, two TDs. Both Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard. It's just a mess. That Bernard injury, it did Jeremy Hill owner some good while Giovanni was out. But now that both of those guys are back in there and trying to split that workload, it's not doing either one of them any good. The guy who did shine yesterday was Mr. A.J. Green, 11 catches, 224 yards, a touchdown. So he certainly made his fantasy football owners very happy. Moving over to St. Louis and Washington, this was obviously all one-sided, led by that Rams defense special teams that I tried to tell you. You wanted to pick them up, and you wanted to pick them up fast. I had them going in two out of my three leagues yesterday in the benefits. I'm just loving what they have been doing for me lately. Not only was it the seven sacks and two interceptions, But they got Tavon Austin, and that is the extra bonus that I look at with the Rams, with him being able to do at any time, 78-yard punt return, and really helped them out. From a stats perspective, it wasn't much to talk about. I certainly had advised fantasy owners to stay away from Colt McCoy this week. Was not a favorable matchup with the how high of a level that the Rams defense was playing. Was not sure about Alfred Morris' prospects. He did nothing. And, again, Sean Hill, this guy's been a solid. You know, I don't think he's a guy that you can gamble and put in your lineup, but 213 yards, two TD passes, no interceptions, both of those touchdowns to tight end Jared Cook. But, again, this was all about the Rams defense special teams who are just handling their business two straight weeks of shutout, just dominating teams right now. Next, it was the New York Giants beating up on the Tennessee Titans 36-7. In this one, you had the rookies. I know New York Giants fans, it has been a long, painful season, but you got an opportunity to take a look at your future there. It was the two rookies holding down. Rashard Jennings gave it a go, just was unable to play. So Andre Williams, the rookie out of Boston College, picked up the load, 131 rushing yards and a touchdown, including a 59-yard TD run. ODB, Odell Beckham Jr., he's back at it again, 130 receiving yards on 11 catches, a touchdown to put some icing on your cake. I've got him in my Yahoo League. What a stud this guy is. I think without question you have to look at him as the top fantasy rookie this year. Certainly Sammy Watkins, Mike Evans, Kelvin Benjamin. I mean, this is just such a highly touted, talented class of receivers. But would you look, if you look at what this young man has done since he joined the Giants, a couple, maybe about six games into the season. Right now, coming into yesterday, his last five games, the man was averaging seven catches for 118 yards. And so ODB is just unbelievable. Certainly Giants fans have to be excited about that. The other one to shine, this was a nice pickup by a guy in my fantasy league that helped him out tremendously in the playoffs yesterday, and that was the Giants defense. Went off with three turnovers. Had a touchdown as well, absolutely dominated that sorry Tennessee defense. And so the Giants defense, special teams, ODB, and Andre Williams, all big for the Giants in their win yesterday. I think the biggest shocker today, and I wouldn't say so much from a win-loss standpoint, but the fashion and it was done. How about the Carolina Panthers going out to New Orleans and just mollywopping the Saints all over the Superdome, 41-10 again. Four straight losses now for the Saints at home. So we knew that they were not the team. Again, the Saints coming into the season, you were lucky if you could get one win in New Orleans coming into this season. You knew they were good for 30-plus points. This is the third time that they've scored 10 points or less at home. I don't know what's going on offense, but it's their defense that's so shaky that I was not surprised that Carolina won this game. If you know anything about football and sports in general, it's about trends. Carolina had lost like six or seven in a row. An opportunity to beat somebody would certainly be a struggling team with a suspect defense who had not played that well, a division rival that they're very familiar with. Cam Newton, I know a couple people who had him in yesterday, and if you were going to play him, this was certainly a game that you thought would be good. As long as he could keep his turnovers down and not get sacked too much, you figured Drew Brees was going to put up a lot of points. So I was going to leave room for Cam Newton to put up a lot of points, but it was Cam Newton putting up the Drew Brees-type numbers yesterday. Cam Newton, 226 passing yards, three passing TDs, also ran one in, so you know he broke the bank for his owners. Again, Cam Newton does that. And if you know one thing about Cam Newton, he can be average for the majority of the year, but usually in a couple of these late-season games, he comes in and has these monster games. I tell you, another guy, and these were two running backs. If you needed some help at the running back positions, Andre Williams for the New York Giants, and how about Jonathan Stewart of the Carolina Panthers, 155 rushing yards, including a 65-yard TD run. Absolutely brung it yesterday. D'Angelo Williams missed that game. And, again, John Stewart has always been the better back, just never healthy enough to hang in there for the duration of the season. But big-time performance by him. Greg Olsen. Two TD catches yesterday, really reaped the benefits there. And Kelvin Benjamin, we're going to talk about him a little bit later in the show because he's got a lot of upside and talent. The problem is teams are draped all over him from the beginning, and if he gets one touchdown, teams just go all out to not give him nothing else, so his yardage doesn't add up. And that's what happened yesterday. He had a touchdown in the first quarter. After that, New Orleans just doubled him the whole game, so only had 26 yards, but did chip in 8 points. Obviously, the Carolina's defense also ate very well. Needless to say, for Drew Brees, Mark Ingram, Kenny Stills, Jimmy Graham, any Saints that you had on the field yesterday, with the exception of Marcus Colston, who had 94 receiving yards. There's a possibility there that they could have cost you, and that was a very favorable matchup. Moving on to Minnesota and the New York Jets, this game really, from a stat standpoint, a couple guys definitely stood out at you. You got to Charles Johnson. He certainly solidified himself as Teddy Bridgewater's number one receiver. They benched Cordell Patterson. He was up over 100 yards yesterday. Teddy Bridgewater, and again, I think this game is irrelevant. I don't think anybody, maybe besides these players' families, maybe besides loyal fans, but I don't know anybody who had Percy Harvin, who had 137 receiving yards and a TD. Teddy Bridgewater, 302 yards, two TDs. Jarius Wright, 123 yards, including an 87-yarder to win it in overtime. And Charles Johnson, possibly, you know, if you were desperate. Well, I don't want to say desperate, but maybe in a deeper league you need to help that wide receiver. But I don't think anybody reaped the benefits of that game. Minnesota's defense, special teams, was a strong play. They had a pick six on Geno Smith. But, again, not too many people with players in that game. So, really, did nobody really too much justice. Moving over to Baltimore, Miami. This was definitely a game that I think went as anticipated, with the exception of Miami just kind of not showing up in the second half at all. In this football game, not a lot of fantasy stats to rave about. Justin Forsett continues to give you number two running back production. Look, only on 12 carries, very efficient game, 70 yards, a TD. So he got you those 13 points. Steve Smith Sr., 70 yards, 7 catches for PPR purposes, a TD. That was good for 13 points. Torrey Smith came in injured, left the game injured, so we don't know his status moving forward. Lamar Miller, only 53 yards on the ground. Ryan Tannehill, 227, a TD. Jarvis Landry, 53 yards. I think the biggest disappointment, and we're going to talk about him in that segment, Mike Wallace. I just don't understand how he cannot be more involved in this offense. Only 3 catches for 37 yards against a Ravens defense that was ranked 31st coming into this game. Very surprising there. Moving on to Indianapolis and Cleveland. This is one of the better football games of the day. Watched this one. A lot of stats came out of this one. Andrew Luck, 294, 2 TDs, 2 interceptions. Give you his money every week. The guy that you want to look at, though, how about this T.Y. Hilton? This guy has emerged. He will without question be a top 5 to 7 fantasy football receiver next year. Him and Joe Hayden battled it out all day. And I will say this, I like that about Joe Hayden. Even if he's overmatched in speed or what may have you, he locks up with the best team's wide receiver every week. And T.Y. just got the better of him, plain and simple. His speed is so hard to maintain. 10 catches, 150 yards, 2 TDs. He dropped another one, and it wasn't wide open. The defender did kind of basically wave his hand in front of his face as the ball was approaching. But T.Y. Hilton, what a big player. Again, 150 receiving yards, 2 TDs. Also, the Cleveland Browns defense, 4 turnovers yesterday, 5 sacks. 2 of those turnovers turned into touchdowns, so their defense had a huge day. I don't think too many people had the Browns defense in playing against the Colts, but big points certainly there. The big surprise as well, Josh Gordon, only 2 catches for 15 yards. Now, he was overthrown on a play where he was wide open, and with his speed, I'm quite sure if the ball was on the money, it would have resulted in about an 80-yard TD. Had a very kind of a questionable drop. It was a very tough catch at the end of the game, but 2 catches, 15 yards. I think at this point now you have to start wondering how much value does Josh Gordon hold, not so much him as a player, but obviously he's the number one thing. Teams are looking to lock down. He's still only, that was his 3rd game back from suspension. Brian Hoyer, very shaky. I don't expect to see him back as starter next week after another horrendous game, 140 yards, 2 interceptions. So the Colts defense certainly were able to give you some money as well. Moving on to Detroit or Tampa Bay, I think we all knew what was going to happen here. My hands were fully in this cookie jar between my 3 leagues. I had Matt Stafford. I had Calvin Johnson. Detroit's defense, special teams, and Drake Bell, and everybody delivered. Detroit's defense, 6 sacks, 2 interceptions. Matt Stafford, I told you, rough stretch throughout the course of the season with a lot of weapons missing. Those 2 games against Arizona and New England were as rough as it was going to get. And for owners of Matthew Stafford, myself included, I would gladly take those 2 games in because his playoff schedule is so sweet. Last week, that wasn't a playoff game, but if you needed to get in, pretty favorable matchup at home against Chicago. yesterday at home against Tampa, the next 2 weeks home against Minnesota, then at Chicago. So you like that there. Stafford, 311, three TDs. Joyke Bell, 83 rushing yards, a rushing TD and a receiving TD. Calvin Johnson, good to know that Megatron is Megatron. It just was injuries holding him back, 8 catches, above 58 in the TD. For Tampa Bay, Vincent Jackson, 10 catches, 159 yards. Certainly was a battle of some fantasy receivers we've seen shining for a very long time. And then, of course, Mr. Evans, low yardage, only 46 yards, but continues to be a big-time red zone threat. Got 2 TDs, so his 16 points, without question, made it worth your while if you had Mike Evans, and that was a very risky play yesterday at Detroit. Moving on to Houston at Jacksonville. Not too much to talk about in this one. Arian Foster, 127 yards in the TD. Again, if he's healthy, he's put up the money all year, just been an injury concern. What we thought would take place, I think, happened as far as Ryan Fitzpatrick. His name was floating around so much with owners wanting to start him. And I tell people, pump your brakes, please. Do not forget this man was benched for poor play the past 2 weeks for Ryan Mallett. He was only in last week because Mallett was injured. And, you know, I think last week was just one of those games for him. There was no way that you wanted Ryan Fitzpatrick in your lineup playing at Jacksonville. The Jaguars' defense has played extremely well lately. Fitzpatrick could only muster up 135 yards. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Did have a rushing touchdown, but no passing touchdowns. DeAndre Hopkins, only 35 yards. The big news in this one, Andre Johnson left that game with a concussion, so we'll have to see his status moving forward. Other than that, really not much to talk about. I think Denard Robinson, his value certainly is on the drop after a hot start those first couple games. Coming off that bye, we just has not been able to put a productive game together. And we got to shout out J.J. Wyatt again, man. I love this guy earning his paycheck to the fullest. 3 sacks, 4 tackles for a loss, just continues to dominate. Denver at Buffalo, great game here by the Buffalo Bills defense. I think they showed everybody it's a championship caliber defense. I think if you look at Denver, maybe a team like Green Bay, if they had the Rams defense or the Bills defense, these teams would be undefeated right now. Bills defense playing that well, and yes, even though they lost the game, I am shouting them out first. Any defense that can hold Peyton Manning to 179 passing yards, 2 interceptions, and no touchdown. You got Emmanuel Sanders, only 4 catches for 56 yards. Even C.J. Anderson, 41 rushing yards. Ladies and gentlemen, this Buffalo Bills defense is for real. You better understand and believe that. Great job by them. C.J. Anderson in this one, obviously, with the 3 touchdown runs, had a nice day. But, again, these were all short plays. He only had 41 rushing yards. He cashed in on touchdown runs of 1 yard, 3 yards, and 6 yards. That's the reality of the situation there. For the Buffalo Bills, you had Kyle Orton put up some big numbers, 355 yards, a TD, 2 picks. So his numbers probably rounded out. Sammy Watkins found his groove again. Again, a trend. Had not done nothing in 4 straight. Got to a real slow start, but ended with 7 catches, 127 yards there. Julius Thomas did not play again. Wes Welker had 6 catches for 83 yards. Demaryius Thomas tweaked his ankle. Don't know the seriousness of that injury. He had 2 catches for 11 yards. But, again, this was a game. The Buffalo Bills had a better defense. They would have beat the Denver Broncos yesterday. This was a game Denver only won 24-17. Moving on to Arizona, Kansas City, certainly wasn't a lot of stats in this one. Low scoring, how we thought. Arizona edged them out 17-14. Jamaal Charles just continues to shine no matter what is going on. The guy's just unstoppable. Let's just call it what it is. 91 yards on the ground on only 10 carries, and that makes me scratch my head. But they cannot convert third down, so he does not have an opportunity to do that much. The 63-yard TD run was hurt with a strained back, came back, did nothing but catch a ball out the backfield and take it 20 yards for a touchdown. I don't know if there's any more players in the NFL at the running back position who are more elusive, just very difficult in the open field. So great day for Jamaal Charles again. Got you 100 all-purpose yards, 2 TDs. Travis Kelce, 7 catches, 110 yards. Did have a key fumble. It was very controversial. Outside of that, not too much to talk about. You know, Alex Smith, 293, a touchdown, an interception. Drew Stanton, 238, a touchdown. And so not a lot of stats there. The big news to come out of this one, though, Kerwin Williams, we all thought with Andre Ellington being out, Andre Ellington is now out for the season. Originally, he was diagnosed to miss this game. He's gone for the entire season. We all thought that Stephon Taylor was going to be the guy stepping in and picking up the load. But this Kerwin Williams came out of nowhere and had a 19 carries for 100 yards. So you certainly want to take notice of him on your waiver wire this week. Seattle, Philadelphia, and, man, I tell you, I can't wait. This is my fantasy football show. A couple shows I do throughout the week are pure football, NFL, and this was just a beatdown, flat out. I'm just going to read you a couple stats. I just have to certainly impress upon you how dominating of a fashion this was. Seattle held the ball for 42 minutes. Seattle had 28 first downs to Philadelphia's 9. Seattle ran 85 plays to Philadelphia's 45, and Seattle had 451 total yards to Philadelphia's 153. Dominated this team. And I think we all seen it coming for those of us, I think you thought that the Eagles playing at home, you gave them a chance. But I think if you were realistic about how Seattle's defense is playing now, that cockiness, that chip that's back on their shoulder, if you look at how Russell Wilson's been playing, this was not a favorable matchup. If they were not going to be able to run the football, they were doomed, and that's exactly what happened. And that's what makes Seattle so tough. You can't run. You're forced to pass. It plays into their hands unless you have, Emmanuel Sanders, Deshaun Jackson, and Tony. I mean, you've got to have some guys with some big-time speed to be able to get off on his secondary. Jeremy Maclin was limited because Mark Sanchez does not have a strong arm and is inaccurate throwing the deep ball. Jordan Matthews, not fast, so these guys were able to keep up with him. So great effort there. Seahawks defense dominating this one. Russell Wilson just continues to shine, show everybody that his game has evolved. He is no longer a guy just out there handing off and making plays when he has to. No, Russell Wilson is out there balling. A 263 passing yards, 2 TDs, also gave you a running touchdown. So this guy, as you will see when we get to our studs, top 5 quarterback for a reason. Marshawn Lynch, 86 tough yards, did lose a fumble, but also had a receiving touchdown there. I don't think anybody had him in, but for those who did, Doug Baldwin, nice game, 97 yards, and a touchdown for Philadelphia. As I mentioned to you, nothing that you need to talk about stats-wise. Sanchez did have 2 TDs, but 96 passing yards, and LeSean McCoy, 17 carries, 50 yards and a fumble. Last couple games here, Oakland Raiders beat the San Francisco 49ers. I'm just going to say I advise owners, you do not trust Colin Kaepernick. You do not trust Franklin Gore. If you played him yesterday, shame on you. I had told you against the Rams, 10 points. Against the Redskins, 17 points. 3 points against Seattle. You had no business playing these guys out there. They've done absolutely nothing but been some bums all year long. It's a travesty. You lose to the Raiders. Kaepernick, 174, TD, 2 picks. Absolutely not. Now, Frank Gore, you only gave the guy the ball 12 times. Again, you got another NFL show, another day to get really into what the issues are for San Francisco, but poor performance. Meanwhile, Oakland Raiders took full advantage. You got rookie Derek Carr, 254 yards, 3 TDs. I don't think anybody had him in against Frisco's defense, a top 10 defense. So if you did, again, I'm quite sure family member, loyal Raider fan. Tight end Mike Riviera, 109 yards and a TD. Also the Raiders defense, 5 sacks, 2 interceptions. Certainly made it worth your while. Our last game was New England beating San Diego 23-14. And this one, New England's defense made it worth your while, 4 sacks. A couple picks on Phillip Rivers made life miserable on him. Rivers, right back to the trend that I told you. If he's playing, if you look at Phillip Rivers' numbers this year against tough defenses, and after finding out that the Ravens' defense, their secondary, I should say, is ranked 31st, I don't think that you can consider the Ravens a tough match. But Phillip Rivers has shown all year long when he's had to play tough defenses, he cannot win games for you. 189 yards, 1 TD in the first quarter, 2 interceptions. Shut him right on down. Tom Brady, on the other hand, rebounded like the true pro that he is, 312 yards, 2 TDs, an interception. Recipients there were Julian Edelman with 141 receiving yards and a TD, including a 69-yarder. Rob Gronkowski just dominating out there again, 8 catches, 87 yards, a TD on a nice. I mean, the guy is lining up at wide receiver, running back shoulder fades, absolutely unbelievable. For San Diego, nothing for you to know except for Keenan Allen found himself on Revis Island. he's still stuck there. Somebody get him a plane ticket home, 2 catches for 3 yards. Brandon Browner's locking it down on the other side. Man, I tell you, Bill Belichick's got his defense playing absolutely well. That's going to wrap up our Week 14 games from around the NFL. When we come back, it's going to be myself and Mr. FSP, Victor Gardner. We're going to first talk about studs. These are our top 10 players at each respective position, so don't go anywhere. It is the NFL Exporter on the Extra Point. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a shit in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say it's the greatest one ever. Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, I told you so. I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Extra Point, NFL Exporter. Once again, first week of the majority of fantasy playoffs are going to wrap up this evening. So if you have Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson, Eddie Lacy, Randall Cobb, Green Bay defense special teams, Mason Crosby, Matty Ice, Steven Jackson, Roddy White, Matt Bryant, or Julio Jones. A lot of big ones in this one. So whether you need them to shine or you need them to kind of have a game where they just the defense can contain them, best of luck to you tonight. Right now it's time to go ahead and, again, over the next 3 weeks, heading to the end of the season, I've got a lot of different categories. We're going to break this thing down from every angle. Today we're going to start off by looking at our studs. Again, 13 weeks for the majority of people is your fantasy football regular season. Here are your studs, your top 10 quarterbacks. Number 1, Andrew Luck. Number 2, Peyton Manning. Number 3, Aaron Rodgers. Number 4, Drew Brees. Number 5, Russell Wilson. Number 6, Ben Roethlisberger. Number 7, Tom Brady. 8, Phillip Rivers. 9, Jay Cutler. 10, Ryan Tannehill. For all intents and purposes, Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady. Well, me personally, I think I might be the only person in the world who had Tom Brady in their top 5, but definitely Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, all of those guys were top 5 to 10 quarterbacks coming in. Again, I was the only guy that had Brady. I certainly think that Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger, Phillip Rivers, Jay Cutler, all of those guys were somewhere between maybe you would probably say 6 to 15 or 16 given the list. And then Ryan Tannehill, your surprise here at number 10. Looking at the top 10 quarterbacks, the guy who I'm going to talk about, and then again I'm going to give Victor a pick of the litter on his end, but I'm going to talk about Russell Wilson here at number 5. And again, the thing that's really had Russell Wilson stand out this year, look, he came into this week with 2,466 passing yards, 15 TD passes, 5 interceptions. But the 679 rushing yards and 4 TDs is really what makes Russell Wilson go. And if you look at yesterday's game against Philadelphia, the thing I love about Russell Wilson, he does not turn the football over. And on a ton of these plays where he should be getting sacked, he's either throwing the ball away or picking up positive yardage, or the defense is following him around and he's finding somebody wide open. And if you have you ever noticed, you never see Russell Wilson get called for throwing the football past the line of scrimmage. The guy is just a smart player, really stepping his game up. If you have him at this point, you have to like what he does. Look, even though they've got one more game at Arizona, even though they've got to play St. Louis one more time, even though that game is in St. Louis. But with my point here being is that even if they're playing the defense is tough, those teams' offenses can get suffocated by Seattle. So the opportunity is going to be there. So great job by Russell Wilson in at number 5. Again, he's a guy that you were able to pick up rounds 9, rounds 10, way down the line. Absolute great job there. Victor, talk to me again at top 10. Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, Benny Roethlisberger at 6, Brady 7, Rivers 8, Jay Cutler 9, Ryan Tannehill 10. Who is a surprise, or who are you really impressed with this fantasy football season out of those top 10 stud quarterbacks?
Actually, two of them. I'll say this. Jerry touted his praises last year, and he was right, Ben Roethlisberger. I didn't expect him to be in the top five. I really didn't. He's a very, very underrated quarterback. But also a player like Russell Wilson, who last year was somewhat limited in the ability that he had to throw the ball. This year they came out and let him run a little bit. He didn't run last year. He scrambled. But this year he's running, and he's also throwing the ball. So, again, like you said, you probably got him round 9, round 10, or whatever the case may be. But that there is a surprise that he is in the top 10 to me. Some players that are not in there, I would say Matty Ice really shocks me. He really shocked me this year, but I don't know if you're going there or not, but those are my two people that I think their performance is outranking where they were drafted this football season.
Yes, well, you are absolutely right, and yes, we are going to go there on those players who did not perform. But, yeah, I agree with you totally. Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger at 5 and 6, where you were able to pick them up in drafts. Hell, some of you might even been able to get them off the waiver wire a week or two in the season. Absolutely unbelievable. And then, obviously, guys like Peyton Manning at 2, Aaron Rodgers 3, living up to Billy. I think Andrew Luck is a bit of a surprise as well that he's number 1. I think we all knew he was going to have a good season, but being a top fantasy quarterback. And really, if you look at the numbers, Luck, 4,011 passing yards, 34 TDs, 11 picks. And, again, this is coming into yesterday's game. Peyton Manning had 37-37 with 36 TDs and 9 picks. It's a 14-point difference between Luck and Manning, and that was the two rushing touchdowns by Andrew Luck, those 213 rushing yards that have him slightly ahead of Manning. Moving over to the running back position, number 1, DeMarco Murray, 2, Marshawn Lynch, 3, Le'Veon Bell, 4, Matt Forte, 5, Arian Foster, 6, Jamal Charles, 7, Justin Forsett, 8, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, I missed one person there. I apologize. Murray, Lynch, Le'Veon, Forte. I don't know that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry. So it's DeMarco Murray, 1, Marshawn Lynch, 2, Le'Veon Bell, 3, Matt Forte, 4, Arian Foster, 5, Jamal Charles, 6, Justin Forsett, 7, Eddie Lacy, 8, and Alfred Morris, 9. I do apologize. Somehow, some way, I have got one person missing out of there at number 10. So when we go to a break, I'll come back with who that player is. Definitely important piece of the puzzle there. I'm going to start with you, Victor. Looking at DeMarco Murray, 1, Lynch, 2, Le'Veon, 3, Forte, 4, Arian, 5, Jamal Charles, 6, Justin Forsett, 7, Eddie Lacy, 8, Alfred Morris, 9. Tell me, who in that bunch of those top 10, those stud running backs, really stood out to you this fantasy football season?
Well, it's got to be the obvious. The number one running back is DeMarco Murray. No one, and I'm quite sure a lot of people, did not think Dallas was going to be committed to the run as they are this year. Scott Linehan has actually come in and not only said that they were going to run, but has made sure that Murray is running the ball. Running the ball so well that he's on pace, if he has, I think, 130 yards rush or something like that, to get 2,000. And that there is surprising to me. Justin Forsett, obviously, being up there, because everybody thought Ray Rice would be back in the league and performing. And a guy that's been a career backup being number 7 is a surprise as well. And you have several people in there that maybe or maybe not you were high on in the draft or you thought you could steal as a sleeper or what have you. But I think those two are pretty much the key there. Now, Le'Veon Bell performing the way he has performed, I think that is somewhat of a shock. Somewhat, but not so much so that I would say it's bigger than DeMarco Murray leading the league in rushing yards and possibly getting 2,000.
Yeah, I feel you. I'm with you there, Victor. I think the things that stand out to me on this list, when you're looking at those top nine guys, and again, we'll make sure to get you that 10th, I think everybody in the top 10, with the exception of Justin Forsett, you'd expect to be there. I think most of these guys were in your top 10 running back ranking. So like you said, no surprise to see those names there. The order, certainly with DeMarco Murray being number one. Jamaal Charles, he missed two games. If it wasn't for that, he'd probably be up towards three. Like you hit on the head, Le'Veon Bell, I think it's the biggest surprise. He's probably going to be up to, like, number two. Has a very good chance to be the top overall running back by the time the season is done. And, again, I mean, last year as a rookie, 960 yards, 8 TDs, and maybe 12 games, very impressive. But I don't think any of us knew the type of shape he was going to come back in. Losing those 15 pounds, he just turned into a completely different ball player, and his ability to catch out of the backfield really has made him dangerous. Like you said, though, Justin Forsett is the one that stuck out here. Came into this week with 1,009 yards, 7 TDs, gave you another 227 receiving, and that was a shock. This is a guy you were able to pick up off the waiver wire. If you recall when the season started, Ray Rice was still a Raven, about to serve a 2-game suspension. Didn't know what was going on with Bernard Pierce. The situation ends up with Rice suspended, Pierce being hurt and ineffective. The door opens, and it couldn't have been a better fit. Justin Forsett has a very good understanding of Gary Kubiak and that zone blocking scheme, and he's taking full advantage of it. And he's got good size, you know, to be 5'10". He's constantly hiding behind his linemen. If you caught him a couple weeks ago when he went off against the Saints on his last final TD run, he understands. You know, he presses the hole, stretches the play out. At the time that he makes his cut, the hole is not there, but by the time he gets to the hole, it's there. So very good understanding of that blocking scheme. Other thing that's interesting to me here, Victor, this is the importance of running backs who can catch out the backfield. Number one, if their team is getting blown out, they're not coming off the field. If you look at Alfred Morris, it may not be that way right now, but I think it would be so just because of the speed. But if you look at Alfred Morris and you look at Eddie Lacy, if their teams are getting blown out, they're no longer in the game. You look at the rest of those guys, though. Look, DeMarco Murray, 343 receiving yards. Marshawn Lynch, 297 receiving, 3 TDs. Le'Veon Bell, 643 receiving yards, 2 TDs. Matt Forte, 650 yards, 3 receiving TDs. Arian Foster, 255 receiving yards, 4 TDs. Jamaal Charles, 214 yards, 4 TDs. Forsett, 227. Lacy, 352 and 3 TDs. So you really see the value at the running back position in standard and obviously in PPR leagues, the importance of having a running back who's an every down back and who can catch out the backfield, because every week it's not easy getting 100 yards in TD on the ground. But if you can catch out the backfield, and I've been impressed, you know, DeMarco Murray, Marshawn Lynch stepped his game up this year. I think we all knew that Forte, Arian Foster, Jamaal Charles had some pretty good hands. But even, Eddie Lacy, you know, has showed some nice hands. And I don't think any of us knew that Le'Veon Bell, he did not catch the football that much out of the backfield. So certainly some added value with those running backs being able to have hands out of the backfield. Moving on to our wide receiver position, top 10 coming into week 13, Antonio Brown, 96 for 1258, 11 TDs. Demaryius Thomas, 88, 1255, 10 TDs. Number 3, Jordy Nelson, 70 catches, 1119, 10 TDs. 4, Jeremy Maclin, 71 catches, 1088, 9 TDs. Emmanuel Sanders in at number 5, 82 catches, 1152, 7 TDs. At number 6, Dez Bryant, 7, Randall Cobb, 8, T.Y. Hilton, 9, Julio Jones, 10, DeAndre Hopkins. I'm going to get first dibs on this one. A guy standing out to me on this list, Antonio Brown. I've got to start there. If you recall in the master plan, my tongue got bitten off. I had to swallow it so hard because I thought that Antonio Brown was a one-hit wonder, but I did not see him duplicating 115 catches for 1,499 yards and 8 TDs. But ladies and gentlemen, he is going to blow that out of the water. After yesterday's game, another 7 catches, up to 106 catches. You tack on another 100 yards, he's around 1,400. So, I mean, he's already got 3 more TDs than he last year. So, first and foremost, the guy's amazing. There's nothing else I can say about that. Jeremy Maclin being in the top 4, certainly surprising there. I think the biggest thing for me, though, is Emmanuel Sanders. Here's a guy coming over from Pittsburgh last year, Eric Decker, had 87 catches, 1,188 yards, and 11 TDs. I knew that Emmanuel Sanders could be effective, but I did not think he could duplicate those numbers. He's already done that. After yesterday's game, he's got more yardage. He's a catch short, and he's a TD short. So with three more games left, I'm quite sure he is going to eclipse that. So I'm very impressed with Jeremy Maclin, Emmanuel Sanders, Antonio Brown, the rest of those guys pretty much knew what they were about. DeAndre Hopkins, he had a solid season without question. Being in the top 10 is a surprise. We all know his big game last week catapulted him in. Victor, talk to me. Antonio, Demarius, Jordy, Maclin, Emmanuel Sanders, Dez Bryant, Randall Cobb, T.Y. Hilton, Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins. Who stood out to you this season at the wide receiver position?
Like you said, Maclin. I'll be straight up and down about it. You expect Jordy Nelson to be number one because why? He has Aaron Rodgers. Well, not number one, but in that top 10 because he has Aaron Rodgers. But Macklin's coming off of a MCL or ACL tear. And, you know, he was supposed to replace or make people forget about DeSean Jackson, and he did. He's the top four. Now, I will say this. With Mark Sanchez under the center, he has regressed. His numbers have dropped off mightily. That goes to show you, in my opinion, that he's a big bang threat as opposed to a possession guy. But if you get the ball downfield, you stretch that defense, Shady gets running lanes, and everybody else can eat as well. So when I look at it, I say the biggest surprise to me is Jeremy Maclin. T.Y., I'm quite sure you are as well, under the belief that he's taken over as the number one, and Reggie Wayne may even have slipped to the number three or four option in that offense, in that passing attack. He's old man river right now. So T.Y. stepped up and did his thing. And folks, you got to remember, people were saying the second-year receivers like Cordero Patterson, who, as you said at the top of the show, was benched, should be the breakout receiver and a few others. But no one really mentioned DeAndre Hopkins except for the cash out, Mr. ATM, because he's a Texans fan as well. And he's pretty much supplanted Andre Johnson. I can't sit up here and say that he's going to be the future of that franchise, but he's done a very good job. So I'll say those two are the ones that surprised me the most, Maclin and Hopkins. But other than that, there are some folks I'm really disappointed in that aren't up there. But, again, it's not that time yet. So I'll digress and let you take over.
All right, good stuff. Let's move over to the tight end position. Number one, Rob Gronkowski. Two, Jimmy Graham. Three, Julius Thomas. Four, Antonio Gates. Five, Greg Olsen. Six, Martellus Bennett. Seven, Kobe Fleener. Eight, Delanie Walker. Nine, Dwayne Allen. 10, Larry Donald. Talk to me, Mr. FSP. Out of those top 10 tight end guys who were you were impressed with this fantasy football season?
And you know what? This is going to sound like a broken record. It really is. And I don't want him to hear this or hear it repeated. But I got to give him credit about Delanie Walker. I was sleeping on Delanie Walker all year. And he's been proving that he is a valuable asset at the tight end position. A quick story. I did my first draft of the year, I believe, at the beginning of June. Yes, I'm a fantasy football crackhead. I will admit it. And while I was doing the draft, of course, I had to consult the ATM because he's my guy. He tells me, I had traded for Kyle Rudolph and Delanie Walker. He says, hands down, Delanie Walker. I was like, are you serious? Because Kyle Rudolph is in a North Turner offense, whereas North Turner features a tight end. And there are more weapons in Minnesota than there is in Tennessee. And, you know, that's when the light bulb kicked in and said, he's right, because Delanie Walker is going to get more targets and stuff like that. So I would say he surprised me, even though I was told and, you know, stuff like that. But that would be my one surprise that's up in there right now. But I'll leave it at that.
Okay, good stuff. For me, you know, looking at this list, I would say that the surprise, number one, Julius Thomas. Not so much his stats, but when you look at his numbers, now he's ranked third. He's only got 40 catches for 426. That's well below. Gronkowski came in with 65, 9, 10, and 9 TDs. Graham had 65 catches, 670, and 70 TDs. You look at Julius Thomas, only 40 catches, 426 yards, but the 12 touchdowns. And it's interesting because, of course, he's missed some games with injuries, but I'm just wondering where some politics involved in this, because Julius Thomas had 9 TDs in his first 5 games. After that, he went through about maybe, let's say, 1 out of his next 5 games or 4 or 5 games with 1 touchdown, and all of a sudden he had 20 yards and 30 yards. Like Manning stopped looking for him. And I just say politics because he's in a contract year. He was well on pace to shatter Rob Gronkowski's single-season record for TD receptions with 17 at the tight end position. And it just makes me wonder, with the way that he kind of got abandoned, was that something that was going to play into his negotiations? Because obviously, when he sits down this year, Denver saying, you know, you're an injury concern, and look how you stacked up against the other top tight ends, as opposed to him coming in with his, you know, his agent and just sitting there and looking at Denver. So interesting there. Antonio Gates being at number 4 definitely stood out to me. I did not think he was a top 10 tight end anymore. I think we all did not know what the shakeout was going to be between him and Ladarius Green. So to see Gates at 4 certainly stands out. But understand, and this is something I had to correct my ways with fantasy football, you want guys who are going to score touchdowns. You know, that 6 points certainly just makes the rest of your day much easier. And then Gates 9 TD certainly has him there. But Graham, Gronkowski, Julius Thomas, Olsen were all in the top 5. Martellus Bennett being up high as 6, that's a surprise as well. Kobe Fleener and Dwayne Allen, the tight end for the Colts, both being in the top 10 at tight end. Surprising there, too. Both of those guys, low yardage, beneath 600. But, again, those 6 TDs for Fleener, the 7 for Allen. And then he mentioned Delanie Walker. I think Walker is a guy, certainly has had some injuries, a little bit of a quarterback carousel. But if you had a strong enough team, he certainly gave you. He had some weeks where he was just absent. But he certainly had enough big games, like when he had the 5 catches for $1.55 at Philly. So he certainly had games where he was able to step in and just give your lineup a huge boost. And then at number 10, you know, I think the tight end was probably the most unpredictable season. You're looking at Larry Donald. You know, I know coming into the season, he was the starter for the Giants. I knew that Eli Manning was very tight end friendly. Did not know how it was going to shake out, especially how bad the Giants' offense looked coming into the season. But great job by Larry Donald there. Just to round out really quickly before we run to a break and then come back and give Victor an opportunity to chime in on some guys who are not on this list. I think we all have some things to say about these busts. But at defense special teams, number 1, Philly, number 2, Buffalo, 3, Miami, 4, Arizona, 5, Detroit, 6, Houston, 7, Minnesota, 8, Seattle, 9, the 49ers, 10, the Rams. For myself, obviously, I think for everybody, Philadelphia being number 1, huge surprise. But if you look at what their defense special teams has done with the additions of Darren Sproles, whoever their special teams coach is, obviously his job security is through the roof. He's going to be special teams coach of the year. We knew the Bills' defense was stout, but number 2, certainly a surprise, leading the NFL in sacks. Not shocked to see Miami at 3. Ending last year, they were one of the best defenses you could have picked up. I don't think anybody's surprised to see Arizona at 4. Detroit at 5, yes, I knew they had a good defense, but had no idea they were going to be that dominant. Houston at 6, I think there was somewhat of an expectation. Minnesota being up as high as 7. Seattle at 8, I think that's a little bit of a drop-off. But, again, if you keep in mind, this is the tricky thing that was with Seattle this year. It was not so much about their defense as much as it was about they were not getting turnovers. And that is why you've seen them drop down a bit. They were also missing some tackles. There were 2 areas that you see Seattle tightening up in. It's got their defense back clamping down. They're not missing open field tackles, and they're getting turnovers. 49ers at 9, no surprise. Rams at 10, I don't think any surprise. Most people had them in their top 10 coming in. Victor, talk to me. Any shocks to you in the top 10 defense special teams?
I was and Atlanta's not in there. This is the shock that I had, that Atlanta's in there having Devin Hester being as explosive as he is and as impactful that he is. I'm surprised Atlanta's not in there. But, of course, this goes upon their defense as well. Another team that pretty much surprised me, special teams-wise, is, oh, my God, I just had it on the tip of my tongue, and I forgot it that quick. Oh, my God. I'm sorry, Joe. I forgot.
Top 10 is Philly, Buffalo, Miami, Arizona, Detroit, Houston. Okay.
Philly, you know, they're number one because of their special teams. Their defense is not that good. But because we lump in the special teams aspect of it, they vaulted up there because I believe they have, what, six returns for TD this year? And there was a stretch where they did like three or four in a row. Of course, yesterday we saw that it wasn't happening with Seattle in Philadelphia. That special teams unit didn't show up, and nor did that defense. Well, the defense showed up a little bit, but it wasn't as impactful as it has been in the past. Darren Sproles was a no-show. Really, a no-show. And a special teams I thought could have done better and for whatever reason didn't, and why they didn't put Cordell Patterson as a kick returner on a lot of occasions in Minnesota. I don't understand why they did not do that because that defense is pretty good. It's young, but it's pretty good, and I think Cordell Patterson could have made them a little better of a special teams and defense combination. So other than that, my friend, everything else to me seems status quo, but again, it's just my opinion.
All right, sounds good. And real quickly, we won't go into detail because we want to make sure we give you the skinny on these busts. But the top 10 kickers, Steven Gostkowski of the Patriots, Cody Parkey of the Eagles, Vinatieri of the Colts, Hauschka, number 4 for Seattle, Justin Tucker, number 5 for the Ravens, 6, Matt Bryan of the Falcons, 7, Dan Carpenter of the Bills, 8, Mason Crosby of the Packers, 9, Caleb Sturgis of the Dolphins, number 10, Dan Bailey of the Dallas Cowboys. We are going to run to another quick break. When we return, we're going to talk about those busts. We're going to talk about those players who you spent probably anywhere from a first to fourth round pick on, and they just are not giving you any return on your money. It's the Extra Point, NFL Exporter, Victor Gardner, Mr. FSP.
Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further, as the Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on the Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's the Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, the Master Plan.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Extra Point with the NFL Exporter. Myself and Mr. FSP Victor Gardner, we just got through running through the top, your studs, the top 10 players at each respective position for the 2014 NFL fantasy football season. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to mesh because the bust list, it's not that big. The disappointment list, I think, is kind of meaty as well. So I'm going to mesh them. You know, some people may consider certain players a bust that I think are a disappointment. Some people may consider a player a disappointment I think is a bust. So let's go ahead and mesh our disappointments as well as our bust list together so we can get a full scope on things. Starting after the quarterback position, certainly Matthew Stafford, again, he's going to make it happen in the playoffs, but during the regular season, only 15 TDs, 10 interceptions, did give you two rushing touchdowns, but certainly was a disappointment in my book. Ante Dalton, he wasn't ranked high enough to be a bust, but certainly a disappointment, only 13 TDs, 13 interceptions. They have the 3 rushing touchdowns to help you out a little bit there. Nick Foles, Carson Palmer going down with injury, certainly disappointing. RG3, You know, really not even playing this season. That certainly was a disappointment. Plus, Josh McCown, certainly, look, I don't care how much time you miss in the time that he was there, 7 TDs, 9 interceptions, did have a couple rushing touchdowns. Cam Newton, 13 TDs, 11 interceptions. Again, I wouldn't say a bust. I had him ranked 18th, but a bust in terms of just lack of overall production. I think for these next two, I'm going to mention Colin Kaepernick as well. Huge bust there, 15 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. No rushing touchdowns, though, for Kaepernick. And, again, you got to make sure, I'm quite sure Victor and the great guys here are going to shed some light on another show that's not fantasy football related, but just a total wrong usage of the 49ers offense this year. For him to have not one single rushing touchdown, maybe that's why they're the worst team in the red zone in the NFL. And so all of those players, whether you pick them up, I would say Stafford and Dalton, Foles and Palmer, you know, all had weeks. Even Kaepernick and Cam, you know, they all had weeks where they did well. But for the most part of the season, just was not able to give you the play consistently. I never like to be an owner where I got to, you know, kind of rack my brain trying to figure out this jigsaw puzzle of what week you're going to show up and one week you're not. So for you, talk to me, Victor, Matt Stafford, Andy Dalton. Again, Nick Foles, Carson Palmer, injuries, yes, RG3. McCown did spend 6 weeks out. Colin Kaepernick and, Cam Newton. Also feel free. You know, Matty Ice is not on that list. I know that's a guy you spoke of. So outside of those guys, Matty Ice included, who was a disappointment? Who was a bust for you this year at the quarterback position?
All of them. I'll tell you like this, man. I did mention Matty Ice earlier on. But, you know, I didn't think about Matthew Stafford as being a bust. I think he was a disappointment more so than a bust, only because he found Golden Tate a lot when Calvin Johnson went down. Matter of fact, Golden Tate leads the team in receptions and yardage. So I guess, you know, you can't consider him a bust, but then you lose a Reggie Bush, who's also another weapon. So it makes it a little difficult for him to depend on other guys that really probably aren't getting the looks that those gentlemen are. Then you can take a look at RG3. Now, the issue in D.C., I love my city, Lance. I love my city. However, he is much more of a disappointment, again, than a bust, only because I think that he's alienated himself from the team. And I'm not saying he's put out there that he's better than everybody. When you have reports coming out of the locker room, as well as the front office, that this guy is, you know, being a politician and he's lost confidence. Well, if they have lost confidence in him, I would not call him a bust. I would say that he hurt himself. Now, also you mentioned Cam Newton in there. Cam is not a bust. Cam's organization caused him to have a terrible season. A guy, if you want to call him a bust, that's probably not on his list, and this is only FSP's opinion, is a guy that Cam Newton faced yesterday, and that's Drew Brees. Wildly underperforming this year. Still good, but wildly underperforming. And I don't know if it's, you know, the receivers he has, whatever. Maybe he has the same issue as Cam Newton. But those three are the biggest quarterbacks that I feel are bust. Now, the biggest bust of bust, and we knew this going in, at least I did, is Geno. Geno should not be a starting quarterback in the NFL. He needs to learn how to be a quarterback. So that's what I have for you, my friend. I don't want to take too much more time, so I'll let you go and do what you're going to do.
Oh, yeah, no problem. And I will say this. I push all exceptions to the side. I understand that Matthew Stafford played without Bush. He played without Calvin Johnson. He played without his top three tight ends. I understand that Andy Dalton played without Marvin Jones, played a lot without A.J. Green, played a lot without Tyler Eifert, played some time without Giovanni Bernard. I understand that the 49ers offense was completely ran wrong. I understand that Cam Newton did not have any weapons, and the offensive line is horrible. But the reality of the situation was those were guys you drafted and had on your team, And from that standpoint, from a reality-based standpoint, not certainly these guys are individual players, that is where that disappointment or bust comes in, that label for those guys. No exception to the rule. If you had them in your lineup, not consistent at all. Moving over to the running back position, Shady McCoy, I don't think it's so much the yards. He came in the last week with 1,018 yards. Again, I understand. Look, last year led the NFL in rushing. Came out in the offseason, said he was the best running back in the NFL. When teams were looking to stop Philadelphia this year, he was the guy. So to still have over 1,000 yards, and actually he was the 10th ranked running back. That was the guy who we didn't have on that list. I understand that, but the four rushing touchdowns, yeah, that's disappointing. Five of those vultured by Darren Sproles. And you look at McCoy, only 111 receiving yards. Yeah, that's Darren Sproles. So when we all wondered what type of impact Darren Sproles would have on Shady McCoy, well, there's your answer. McCoy usually will be up around 400, 500 receiving yards. And let's say, you know, maybe a couple other guys, but he would have maybe 7, 8 TDs rushing. So you're certainly a disappointment for a guy who most people drafted in their top three. Giovanni Bernard, I understand the injuries, only 540 yards, 5 TDs. And these are my disappointments. So McCoy, Bernard, Jennings, Rashard Jennings out of New York, got to a great start. Missed 5 weeks. You know, that time hurt, you know. Ben Tate could only in 3.5, he missed 3.5 games, but his time in Cleveland, only 348, 4 TDs. Ryan Matthews, yet again, missing half the season, only gave you 286 yards and 3 TDs. And no Sean Moreno. You know, I think you could see he was going to have a huge year in Miami. Just can't stay healthy. Your bust, without question, Maurice Jones-Drew, just never got on the field. He was supposed to start. I don't know what the hell happened there. Monty Ball, 8 games missed, huge bust. Toby Gearhart, anybody invested stock in him. Doug Martin, despite missing 5 games. Reggie Bush, 7 games missed. Zach Stacy, writing on the wall was on for him from day one. I advise everybody about him. Shane Vereen, only 4 TDs. Frank Gore, only 3 TDs. Did have 712 yards. You know, all those running backs, just I don't care where you drafted them. And especially, for Monty Ball, Doug Martin, Reggie Bush, Zach Stacy, these are guys that you were drafting, you know, in your top 3 to 4 rounds. So huge list there again: Victor, Shady McCoy, Giovanni Bernard, Rashard Jennings, Ben Tate, Ryan Matthews, Moreno, Maurice Jones-Drew, Monty Ball, Toby Gearhart. I don't really think we should consider him a bust. I mean, people had a lot of hope in him. I think him and Geno Smith are guys. I didn't even have Geno Smith ranked in my final quarterback ranking. So I think people, there was more of a hope, and sometimes you just get carried away with, okay, he's the only person they have. He's going to get all the carries. No, doesn't mean automatic production. But Gearhart, Doug Martin, Reggie Bush, Zach Stacy, Shane Vereen, Frank Gore, or any other running back of your choice, who were some of your biggest busts and disappointments this fantasy football season?
Well, you said at the very end, Frank Gore. I think Frank Gore isn't a bust because of his performance. He's a bust because of the offense and the lack of opportunity that he had. I'll also say that Alfred Morris has been a bust based upon the fact that I had him ranked in my top 12, top 15 players. He's not performing up to that level. But I'm going to tell you the biggest bust out of all of them, especially coming into this year, other than MJD, because you're right, MJD was supposed to come in and take that job and be the guy, Giovanni. Giovanni Bernard underperformed in a run-heavy offense. Yes, he missed time because of his clavicle. He missed time because of his hip. But at the same time, he was not being a big producer. As a matter of fact, you can tell me what you think about this trade, because I think I got away with murder with it. I traded Luke Kuechly, Giovanni Bernard, and I forget the other receiver I sent away. But in return, I picked up Demaryius Thomas. I picked up Joyke Bell. And I picked up Crabtree. So I think I got rid of Gio at the right time, because I think this was week 3 or something like that where I got rid of him. But he has not and I repeat, not been the number, the 1B or 1A back that I thought he would be this year. And it's showing, because Cincinnati's struggling to move the ball unless it's on deep passes to A.J. Green. But that would be my biggest bust outside of MJD, Lance.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And, you know, for Giovanni, I think he was on my disappointment list. When he was there, he was productive, you know. He started off the season. Yeah, he had some strong games. I think most people had him at their number two running back. So for my number two running back, he's productive. But, again, when you miss all those games, and then now that he's came back, it's a mess in Cincinnati because they're trying to split the time between him and Hill, and it's not working. Like I said, if you had Jeremy Hill, your best – You got a lot of production when Giovanni was out, but now that they're trying to do this running back split, it's not working. Neither one of those guys are benefiting. And for those who had Giovanni, you were depending on his double digits weekly. And for him to miss that amount of time and then come back single digits every week, without question, huge disappointment there. Let's move over to the wide receiver position, a very lengthy list here. Disappointments for me, Mike Wallace. I'll respect the 7 touchdowns, but only 2 games this year with only 70 yards. Receiving, I don't get it. You know, I mean, why Miami can't get him the football? I don't understand. I understand that for the most part he's a one trick pony. I do not see Mike Wallace as a complete receiver. You know, but disappointing that he being a lead guy there. I mean, only 2 games with over 70 yards. That's just unreal. Calvin Johnson lost 6 weeks with 724 and 5 TDs. You've seen him the last 2 weeks. But you for me, I'll speak for myself, having to go without him for 6 weeks, you know, that's a disappointment right there. A.J. Green, another guy, 6 weeks lost. You figure, you know, four bad games, a bye week, and getting shut down by Cleveland, that hurts. You know, those are these, you know, Calvin Johnson and A.J. Green, these are people's number ones wide receivers. Rhodey White. A lot of times injured. I can't say the expectation was huge, but to be on a team like Atlanta that passes so much, only 100-yard game all year, I certainly think the age is starting to catch up with him. And Keenan Allen, you know, has been hot as of late besides getting caught on Revis Island yesterday, but only had 1 touchdown in his first 10 weeks. Unreal, absolutely. Plus, Victor Cruz, I understand the injury, but only had 1 TD in his first 6 games before being injured. Wes Welker, 2 TDs, horrible. Percy Harvin, 1 TD. He was a guy who I think everybody kind of was borderline on. Cordarrelle Patterson, you know, I mean, 1 receiving TD all year, 350 receiving yards, ridiculous. Dwayne Bowe, another year of no touchdowns. Pierre Garçon. Reggie Wayne only 2 touchdowns. Andre Johnson only 2 touchdowns. Larry Fitzgerald only 2 touchdowns. Marcus Colston only 3 touchdowns. Vincent Jackson only 2 touchdowns. Michael Crabtree, 4 TDs, not a single 100-yard game all year. And I guess we got to start looking at the big picture because, let's face it, Rhodey White, Vincent Jackson, Marcus Colston, Larry Fitzgerald, Andre Johnson, Reggie Wayne. Hell, we can throw Dwayne Bowe in there, even Wes Welker. These are guys who've been productive for many years. Getting up in age, I think we have to definitely start getting prepared for life after these players who perform so well for so long. Victor, talk to me. The wide receiver list was very lengthy. Which guys there were huge disappointments or busts for you?
My huge disappointments are Alshon Jeffries and Brandon Marshall. I'm very, very disappointed in that entire offense, as Jay Cutler is not, you know, being the distributor that he was last year. I think Josh McCown did better at being quarterback in Chicago than Jay Cutler, and both players ate, plus Martellus Bennett. But the one man that was the odd man out last year was Matt Forte. And this year, Matt Forte is the more dominant player for the Chicago Bears. But when you have 2 6-foot-5 receivers that can jump out of the gym, and you're constantly overthrowing them or throwing too high or throwing interceptions, they can't perform. So those two were my big busts or disappointments. You mentioned Cordarrelle Patterson. He is my biggest bust besides Keenan Allen. I think Cordarrelle Patterson came in this year as the number two in the second year and expected to be a number one wide receiver in fantasy and in the NFL. I really think that was the expectation. That's not what took place. In fact, I would say he regressed quite a bit this year. I don't know if it was because of, you know, Teddy Bridgewater. You know what? I have a theory. I think he regressed and that entire offense regressed because of the lack of AP. I really think that's the case. However, he is my biggest bust. Now, Keenan Allen, for whatever reason, is not showing up this year. I don't know if it's because the players are no longer called for him or that he's not beating double teams or he can't beat the one-on-one with the best cornerback. But I actually put him on the waivers. Him and Torrey Smith, I put him on waivers. I actually did because I thought that they were just a waste of my time. But that's what I have for you, Lance. And I know we want to get to this game, and you have a couple more things you want to get to, so I'll turn it over to you.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Like I said, it's really not much to talk about in this game tonight. We know who the stars are. We know that people either need these players to show up or you need them to have a bad game. So I'm not going to spend too much time on the game. I did want to chip in, though, for Alshon and Brandon. I think for the reasons you said is why they struggled. You know, Brandon Marshall is a little bit more complete. Well, let me give Brandon his credit. He's more of a complete receiver than Alshon Jeffrey. But for those reasons you said, it's more to football than just, okay, you're 6'5", go deep, I'll just toss it up. No. You know, we need to see some curls, some drags, some slants, some post corners. We need to see the versatility here. It's not just going deep every down and throw, you know, or just running a fade route. So I think that's why you've seen those guys come up short for you this year. And you mentioned, goodness, Keenan Allen. You know, I don't know what the hell happened with him. Like I said, only one TD in your first 10 games after a year like last year. That's just unbelievable. And like you said, with Cordarrelle Patterson, those are the reasons that I've heard. Can't run routes, plain and simple. He's not sharp at route running. And that results in you not being open. I don't care how fast and athletic you are. And then you mentioned it, no Adrian Peterson. And people got carried away with Cordarrelle Patterson. I hate to say it, but you can thank Michael Fabiano. You can thank Matthew Berry. These people who are on these shows, and again, this is no slight or diss, even though, like I said at the beginning of the show, bring any of those guys on, I'll eat them alive and spit them out. I'm trying to get the word out there to get my respect. So, you know, you go ahead and spread the word, but no disrespect to my colleagues. But it was those guys who are very high on these trends, and most of the times, or half the time, they're pretty accurate. But everybody was high on Cordarrelle Patterson for listening to those guys on TV say last year he was had the biggest production from the wide receiver position in his last four games. That was last year. You know what I'm saying? And this was this year. And as Victor pointed, without Adrian Peterson, I think that's where we all were looking at. And I'll give Fabs and those guys the benefit of the doubt. But Adrian Peterson there, now you've got 8 men in the box. Cordarrelle can take advantage of one-on-one coverage this year. Without AP, these defenses sat back and really forced Minnesota to run with Castle and Bridgewater eventually at quarterback. Moving over to our tight end position, disappointments for me, Jason Witten, no games over 70 yards all year. Zach Ertz, this was going to be a huge year for him in Philly, only 2 TDs. Charles Clay, I understand the injuries, but not one single game over 65 yards, 2 TDs. Josh Reed for the Redskins, not a single touchdown all year. Kyle Rudolph missed 8 weeks. That was key. I think he was a guy who certainly would have benefited big time from the passing game. Your two biggest busts, I don't think anybody will argue on this. Vernon Davis, 210 yards and 2 TDs all year. They don't even use him anymore. Pathetic. Another guy that I think got caught up in the wash because he wants a new contract. And you ain't getting it with that production. And Jordan Cameron, obviously, concussions and injuries and just horrible, 250 yards, 1 TD. Victor, talk to me, along with any other guys that you may have, tight ends who were disappointments or busts for you this year.
My guy, for sure. Jordan Reed and Cameron Jordan. These two have been the biggest thorns in my side this year because I picked them both up thinking that, oh, wow, you know what? I get Cameron Jordan as my number one tight end, and you couple him, Hoyer, and what they did last year, based off of last year, he'll be the number one target since Josh Gordon is gone. And injured all season long, didn't do a daggone thing. Jordan Reed comes out game one, hurts his hamstring, misses X amount of games, and then Niles Paul shows up and starts stealing his thunder. He's been often injured this entire season, but he too was a tight end that I waited to the, like, I'd say close to the end of the draft to get because of the potential of a tight end slash wide receiver Jimmy Graham type performance. But again, I was sorely mistaken, and it hurt me. It hurt me in a couple of leagues. Matter of fact, the tight end position, I can safely say, the tight end position and my number two receiver in several leagues are the reason why I didn't make the playoffs in about five or six leagues this year. Out of 21, that's not bad, but I don't like that. I don't like not making the playoffs, especially at these positions that could have given me the extra 3 or 4 points I needed to win that week. So those two are my biggest busts.
All right, sounds good to me. Only a couple of defense and kickers, so that'll be quick. We'll hit another quick commercial break, give our partner shout-outs, and give the rundown for Monday Night Football. Defenses for me, Kansas City ranked 17th. You know, they did a decent job this year, but as of late, just crumbled. I mean, after that Raiders debacle, I don't understand how they couldn't get a single. They got one sack on Derek Carr. I don't know what defense they played that week, but could get absolutely no pressure. Came into that game without a rushing touchdown, gave it up to Latavius Murray. Ever since then, their defense has not played well. They're currently ranked 17th. And Cincinnati, you know, losing Mike Zimmer. Look at Minnesota, ranked 7th. That's a reason. That's another show, another day for coaches doing an excellent job in their first years. But you wonder why Cincinnati's defense got torched yesterday for 500 yards. That's Mike Zimmer. They've got the same personnel there. They did lose Michael Johnson, who's doing absolutely nothing in Tampa Bay. I hate when these free agents do well for a team. They hit the jackpot, go to another team and do nothing. They did lose Michael Johnson, played a little bit of time without Ray Malaluga. We know that Geno Atkins is, you know, basically spending this year to get that knee back to 100%. You know, was down with an ACL last year in the middle, towards the end of the season. But outside of that, same personnel. I think the other big piece, though, too, Vontaze Burfict with the concussions, unable to stay healthy. Bengals ranked 23rd. You look at your kickers. Yes, I got a couple kickers. I'm talking about Matt Prater in Denver. Cannot stop abusing alcohol. Blows an opportunity there. He is in Detroit now, but that was a huge loss for him. Brandon McManus out in Denver. They did resign him recently, this week, I should say. But he was the starter. They had to get rid of him and get in Connor Barth. I mean, if you're with Denver, there's no reason you should be losing your job. And then out in Detroit, same problem. Rookie Nate Freeze had the job. Guy can't make field goals. They cut him. Went with Alex Henry, who Philadelphia cut last year. Hello, Detroit. They picked him up. He couldn't make a field goal, so they cut him. So those are my disappointments, that defense and kicker. Real quick from you, Victor, any defenses or kickers not performing the way that you expected this year? I think as well we all know, I didn't put them in there, but I think we all know the likes of Carolina, some of these other teams. But go ahead, open up. That might be a good place to start. Their defense certainly did not show up at all this year.
You know, I really don't have any particular kicker. But I'll tell you, a defense, at the beginning of the year and currently, the 49ers, I know that's your team, Lance, but they have been very inconsistent at best. I know they were dealing with some injuries and stuff like that, but that would be my issue or the team that I said or I feel was very inconsistent, along with another team that showed me they were dependent upon one player, and that's Kevin Hardy. I'm talking about the Carolina Panthers. Very disappointing this year. Number two defense last year, what are they ranked this year, like number 15, 16 or something like that? One man made a difference on that defense. That's what I got, my brother.
All right, real good. And to my guys' defense, and we've got 2 minutes left, so we're going to just skip the commercial break. But to my 49ers defense, and this is something I want to open up across the board. I want to make sure, Victor, we may have to copyright this one. But I think in fantasy football, I don't think these defenses need to get penalized when the offense is turning the ball over and the other team is running it back for a touchdown. The defense has nothing to do with that. And to my 49ers defense came into this rink week ranked 10th overall, 7th against the run, 5th against the pass. This team's record, especially missing Patrick Willis, Harden Smith, Navarro Bowman, Glenn Dorsey, two new defensive backs, all the turnover. I think this defense played well. I thought they would be much worse than what they were. Real quick, ladies and gentlemen, make sure that you check us out 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. This Sunday it'll be the Master Plan with myself and host Jerry Taylor. Make sure you're here with me next Monday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It will be the playoffs for everybody if you're blessed enough to still be in. And that one we're going to continue. Next week we're going to talk about our top waiver wire pickups as well as our top sleepers and late round picks, so you don't want to miss that. Again, at 7 p.m., the extra point. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at NFL Explorer. Owner, send a friend request to me over on facebook.com/NFL Exporter. Both of those is spelled NFLEXPORTER. Again, best of luck to everybody tonight with your fantasy football games. Again, you already know Aaron Rodgers, Eddie Lacy, Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, Packers defense, special teams, Mason Crosby, Julio Jones, Matty Ice, Steven Jackson, Rhody White are all your top targets. Victor, before we get out of here, any last words? We got about 60 seconds.
I am the best. I know I'm the best, but this year I might not be the best. But I will be winning a couple of championships, and we will be having this conversation really soon. Jerry and me, round two, possibly if I win my playoff game and he wins his, we'll see each other in the next round. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. I'm out.
All right, sounds good. And for myself, NFL League, first place, so I had a bye week. My Yahoo League, this was the last week, got a win. I am in my ESPN League. They have the format where you play your opponent two times advance and play another 2 weeks. So down 40, one more week to go, definitely going to have to pick it up. But in the three leagues I played in, definitely in the playoffs and all the above. All right, ladies and gentlemen, appreciate the love, appreciate the support. You know, catch us live. You know where to catch us on Spot On. We are up and out of here. NFL Exporter, Mr. FSP, the Extra Point, 1100.
And here we are. It all comes down to this. Tied ball game, no time left on the clock. With one more point, they'll pull out the win. Here's the snap. Holder puts it down. The kick is up. And the extra point is good. The NFL Exporter has done it again.